Well, a famous man once described the young people of his generation this way. He said, "Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food, lay their legs on the table, and tyrannize their elders." That's a pretty harsh critique of young people. You want to guess who said that? That was said by Socrates in 400 B.C. Yeah, you thought that was recent, huh? Yeah, Socrates in 400 B.C. Maybe there's nothing new under the sun, right? Well, 1,000 years before Socrates said these words, in 1400 or so B.C., God gave Moses the Mosaic Law, these commands to the Jews that would be foundational for human relationships and for society as a whole. Honoring your parents and those in authority is one of those rules. Every society has rules and expectations for how children or how anyone is to honor their parents. If this simple family structure breaks down, society as a whole is in danger of coming apart at the seams. It's like crucial to society, the relationship between children and parents. What we find in the fifth commandment is that God promises great things to those who honor their parents and promises serious consequences for those who do not. So as we look at this fifth commandment today, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that as I was thinking earlier, we just thank you for Christ. Thank you that His righteousness was imputed to us, given to us. We know we all stand guilty and fall short of the glory of God. But we thank you for Christ. Lord, I pray that as we look at this fifth commandment today, that I would not preach law and good works, but that we would be able to see how to apply this commandment in such a way that is consistent with grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Ten Commandments, as we're going through the Ten Commandments really shifts at this fifth commandment. The first four commandments are dealing with our relationship to God. You remember? "You shall have no other gods before me," was number one. The second one was, "You shall not make unto yourself any carved image." This is about worship, right? And then the third one is, "You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That's also about worship and life. And then the fourth one, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." These all have to do with our, now not completely, but mostly it's our vertical relationship with God and how we worship Him. But the fifth one is a transition from the relationship to God and moves to our relationships with others, like murder and theft and loving our neighbor, right? Well, this fifth one is pivotal and placed here for a reason. because this fifth commandment is so important, really, for the rest of the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment says this, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Quite simple, huh? So number one, let's just take a look at the command. At the command itself. The command itself is this. Honor your father and honor your mother. The word for honor here is kabod. Comes from the word kabod, which means glory. We use that word for glory in the Bible, like glory be to God. It means heavy or a weightiness. So, in that sense, we look at honor your father and mother is to consider our father and our mother with a sort of weightiness, a heaviness, a respect, if you will. Right? Leviticus repeats this command in Leviticus 19, 1 through 3. It says, every one of you shall revere his mother and father. Notice this one, mother is first and not father. Revere. This word in Hebrew means to fear. It actually means to fear, not like a holy reverence. It means to be afraid. So there's a sense of when we honor our mother and father and we revere our mother and father, we consider them with a weightiness. We don't take them lightly. Not like, who are you? Right? No, we consider them with respect. And that's no, most of you coming from Chinese culture, of course, filial piety is a great virtue. And so you're very familiar, much more familiar than I am, with this understanding. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4 also repeats this command. Jesus said, you know the commandments? Right? And one of the ones he listed was honor your father and your mother. When we looked at the sayings from the cross at Lent, you remember one of the sayings Jesus said from the cross is, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Remember we talked about that? And how Jesus was even honoring his mother in that statement. So, this command is not hard to understand. It's not like there's something hidden in here that we need to see and go, oh, I never saw that before. No, it's more about do we do it and how do we do it? We are to revere our parents and respect them. We are not to take them lightly, but to take them seriously. God commands it. To not honor is to dishonor. So if we don't honor our father and our mother, we dishonor our father and our mother. You're probably well aware that this offense, dishonoring your parents in Jewish Mosaic civil law, you know the Old Testament law is divided up mostly between the civic law for the Jewish nation, the ceremonial law, which is like the things you have to wash and you have to do the cups and the plates and certain things for cleanliness, for worship. Those needed to be done. And then there's the moral law. Okay. So in the civic law, in Mosaic law, Exodus 21:15 says, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Exodus 21:17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Deuteronomy 21, kind of a longer passage, says this, if a man has a stubborn or rebellious son or daughter, we might say, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. And though they discipline him and will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of this city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all of the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil. Notice that. Cause dishonoring your mother and father evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, you can understand what that would do to civil society. That would create a culture. That strict civil law would create a culture where people took it very seriously. Right? Now, you may think of these passages as I did, and my first thought was, wow, it's pretty extreme. But let us not scoff at God's strictness in the Mosaic civil law. But what we should do is mourn over our own rebelliousness of our parents. You see, these actually speak to us and say, to honor your father and mother is a big deal. We should take it really seriously. Now, as Christians, we don't obey the civic law of given to the Jews anymore, right? And we don't have to obey the ceremonial law to the Jews anymore. But the moral law, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the moral law of God, which is repeated in, not this, but honor your mother and father, which is repeated in the New Testament, is still for us to believe and obey. So it seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? But think about it this way. A man and a woman bring a child into the world. They nurse the child. There's my child. Amber, you don't have to leave. It's fine. He might need to hear this. You nurse the child, you feed the child, you care for the child's every need. You teach, as we're doing now, we're teaching the child to sit, teaching the child to crawl, changing the child's diaper, scratching the child's back at night and singing songs to the child and snuggling up close to the child, protecting the child and providing for the child in every way. And then the child grows up and says, "Who are you to tell me what to do?" That's absurd and insane, isn't it? So God says, no, don't do that. Honor your father and your mother. All of us at some point in our lives are guilty of breaking the fifth commandment, are we not? Maybe not recently, but if we think back in our lives just a little bit, we could think, wow, I can't believe that I did that, or I can't believe that I said that to my parents. So we all should think soberly about how we honor our father and our mother at all points of our lives, not just when we're like little kids, right? Honoring our father and our mother looks differently for us when we are 6, or when we're 16, or when we're 40. It looks different, doesn't it? But nonetheless, we have a command from the Lord to honor our father and our mother. And all of us need to think about how to do that. But this commandment doesn't just mean honoring our parents. It begins there. By the way, all of the Ten Commandments are more of a category than just a simple statement. within those Ten Commandments, there are implications for other parts of life. So in this one as well, as the Heidelberg Catechism 104 puts it nicely, written in 1500s, the Catechism says this: what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. So notice that it begins with parents, but doesn't just stop there. In the catechism, at least. Now, you may say, well, that's a catechism. That's not the Word of God, right? The New Testament clearly teaches that we are to submit not just to our parents, but also to those who are in authority. Romans 13:7. Show respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. 1 Peter 2:17 says, go back, Barkill, honor everyone. That's pretty easy, isn't it? So all of those who would be in a position of authority, whether it's a father and mother or a boss or a teacher, whoever it might be, even our own general revelation tells us that we are to respect those who are in authority over us. So the command is simple, honor your father and mother, but it includes all of those who might be in authority over us, like a father or like a mother. And we know this is true from the epistles, where slaves obey your masters, bond servants obey those who are over you, employers and employees. So that's the command, to honor, to hold with a weightiness, to hold with a seriousness, a reverence, our father and our mother, both of them, and those who are in any kind of position of authority over us, that we should hold them in honor and respect. That's the command. But this command comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. Promise of a blessing. Phil Ryken, who I have been very helped by his book on Exodus, said this. He's a president of Wheaton College, by the way. You might have heard of that school. He said this: this is the only law with an entirely positive message and an offer of reward. So it's not thou shalt not, but it's honor your father and your mother. So the command is that. Let's look at the promise, number two, the promise. It says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord Yahweh, your God, is giving you. What does this mean? I mean, you and I don't live in Israel. I'm not Jewish. We probably couldn't care less about living long in the land, right? We're not in that time period. You're not like, well, I don't really plan on living in Israel, so it's not that big of a deal if I live long in the land of Israel. Never even been there before. But this phrase, this is actually a phrase, living long in the land, is a Hebrew phrase that means the fullness of God's blessing. It literally means abundant life. Abundant life. So you could paraphrase this like this: honor your father and your mother that you may have an abundant life. A full life. It doesn't mean that you will live long. It doesn't mean that if you honor your father and mother, it's like a formula. If you honor your father and mother, you'll live to be 90. No, I mean, there's been plenty of people in their lives who have honored their father and mother greatly and died in their 20s. Okay, I can think of William Borden, who my son is named after. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, repeats this command, by the way, in the New Testament. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Is this really true? Is it really true? Like, if you honor your father and your mother, are you really going to have a full, abundant life? Well, first, I think it's common sense. Those of us who have lived a while understand that it's common sense. We can keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble by doing what we have been told to do, being where we're supposed to be, doing what we are supposed to be doing. How many of you would testify today that you'd say, you know, if I'd have listened to my parents, I'd have kept myself out of a lot of trouble. If I'd have just listened to my parents. I mean, most of the trouble that I got into in my life was because I was doing what my parents told me not to do. So first, I think it's common sense. Our parents and older people in general have a lot of wisdom, and they can save us a lot of trouble in life. Just think about it. Secondly, we know this is true. I think we find out this is true by faith. We receive it by faith. It's not just common sense, but it's also about faith. I think you have to take, as a person, you have to take and receive by faith that if I honor my father and my mother, that it will be good for me. You actually look at God's word and say, I don't really feel that way. I don't really feel like I should listen to them. I don't like what they have to say. They're a little weird and out of touch in life. But you receive by faith. I will honor my father and my mother by faith, that it might be well for me. Lastly, just think how much your parents will want to bless you and pour out their love on you if you do honor them. There's a reward. I mean, it's just simple part of life. If your children just say, oh, I just honor you, I respect you, I will do what you have to say, it's just a natural outflow that it's just really easy to bless when people are obedient and honoring to you, right? That happens in the workplace as well. Well, it's kind of a hard passage to preach. The command is quite simple, just honor your father and your mother. It comes with a promise that you'll have abundant life if you do that. Well, what about some kind of application for us beyond just simply go do that? I think for society at large, if you create a culture of dishonoring and disobedience to fathers and mothers, you will likely destroy society. Society will not be blessed as a whole. It's like at a micro level, if we honor our father and our mother, that will rip, the ripple effect will be through all society. St. Augustine said this, If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? You understand what he's saying? Meaning, if you won't do that simplest thing, then anything is possible. So I think for society at large, it has implications. When we come to the New Testament, and Paul is writing about the last days, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, he says this, that people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. So, Of course, we saw Socrates in the beginning, 400 BC, describing his generation. But yet here Paul says in the last days, it will be one of the implications that we are living in the last days, that honoring father and mother will be something that people don't care about. So I think there's a societal implication or application. But for a personal level, there's also an application for us, and it's obviously quite simple. Are we honoring our father and our mother? If not, how can we honor our father and mother at this point in our lives? What can we do to honor them? So some of us have parents who are quite older, 80s, late 70s. Some of you have parents who are about my age, 50s. Some of you have parents who are younger than me. But it's something for us to think about, to simply ask ourselves, at this point in my life, how can I honor my father and my mother? Well, let's look at the gospel lastly. We've already mentioned that we are all guilty of breaking this commandment. At least I know I am. We've all been rebellious sons and daughters, and our parents have loved us anyway. There's only been one perfect child who ever lived. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be the parent of Jesus? Only one son or daughter, one son, has perfectly honored and obeyed their father and mother, Jesus Christ. And it's a harsh command because it says if you don't do it, you deserve death. And that is actually still true. Any of us who break the commandments of God, the wages of sin is death. But before we take the Lord's Supper to think about this, we praise God because Jesus died for the sins that we committed. So the many countless times I dishonored my mother and my father, Jesus died for those sins. He took those sins upon Himself and died for those sins which weren't His. But Jesus also obeyed the law in our place. He kept the law of God. He kept the fifth commandment and stands before us as a human representative, as a representative of the whole human race to say, I obeyed the law of God. So His righteousness is given to us as well as the fact that He took away our sin. So as I said earlier, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But now, as Christians, we are to honor our father and our mother the best we can, and honor them and others who are in authority in our lives. So even in a simple command like this, we see the gospel because we've broken it. A question that you might have is this, at least a question I asked myself, do I have to obey my father and mother if they ask me to do something that is contrary to God's word? Do I have to obey my mother and father if they ask me to sin? And the answer is no. You do not have to obey your mother and father if they ask you to disobey God. Because our parents are under God's authority. And obedience to God is more important than obedience to parents. At one point in my life, one of my parents asked me to not go overseas. And I said, I cannot do that because the Lord has called me. Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You know that passage? So we are to obey God. Jesus said that even there would be a time when children will deliver over their parents to the sword to persecution. That the enemies will be those of their own household. So obeying God is the most important thing we should do. But we are also to honor our parents. So that's not an easy solution. No easy answers how to honor your parents and yet also obey God. So as we move to the Lord's Supper, I'd ask that you prepare your heart for receiving the elements and thank Jesus for dying for our sins and for breaking the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother that you may have an abundant life. Let's pray together. Lord, you know this is a hard passage to preach. But I do thank you, Lord, that Christ died for all of our sins. The ones that we think are a big deal and the ones that we don't think are a big deal. Thank you that in Christ we have our sins separated as far as the east is from the west from us. Forgive us, Lord, for those times in our lives when we have not honored our father and mother, and I pray that you'll help us to know how we can do that in such a way that honors and glorifies you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.